All right, so let's dive into something that might seem a little out there.
Yeah.
But trust me, it's going to be surprisingly relevant to all of you. Imagine you're piloting a plane.
Okay.
Everything's smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're lost. Not just a little off course,
Okay.
but genuinely lost. Today, we're going to unpack exactly what you do in that situation.
Okay.
Not just for flying,
Yeah.
but for any time you feel like you're in over your head.
Interesting.
So I have to ask you the obvious question.
Sure.
What's the very first thing you do when you realize you might be lost up there?
It sounds simple, but the most important thing is to just stay calm.
Oh, I know.
I know, easier said than done when you're soaring through the air, right? But that initial moment of realizing you're lost can trigger a flood of emotions. Panic can lead to hasty decisions, and those can make things worse.
So how do you prevent that initial freak out? Our source material really emphasizes not jumping to conclusions too quickly.
That's where checking your fuel comes in.
Okay.
It might seem counterintuitive,
Yeah.
but knowing how much time you have left
Right.
actually helps to reduce panic.
Okay.
It shifts your mindset from, oh my God, I'm lost, to, okay, I have X amount of time to figure this out.
Right.
It allows you to be more strategic with your next steps.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like taking a deep breath before you dive into problem-solving mode. And speaking of steps, our source lays out this brilliant mnemonic device to help pilots remember the most crucial actions.
Oh, yeah.
The five C's.
The five C's are basically a pilot's checklist for getting back on track.
Okay.
They provide a framework for thinking clearly under pressure.
So let's walk through them.
Okay.
First up is circle.
Yeah.
It seems pretty self-explanatory, but what's the logic behind it?
Circling helps prevent you from straying further away from your intended course
Okay.
while you assess the situation. It's about buying yourself time and space to think without making things worse.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's almost like hitting the pause button and saying,
Right.
okay, let's figure out where we are before we go any further. So,
Exactly.
what's C number two?
Confess.
Okay.
This means acknowledging to yourself,
Right.
and if possible, to air traffic control, that you're lost.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because admitting you're lost can be tough,
Oh, yeah.
even when it's just misplacing your keys,
Totally.
let alone when you're in a plane.
It's almost like that initial resistance is human nature, right? Like, I'm not lost. I just took a scenic detour.
Yeah.
But acknowledging the situation is crucial for moving forward.
It is.
So after you confess, you climb right.
Right.
What's the thinking behind that?
There's a great phrase they use, climb to cope.
Hmm.
Gaining altitude often improves radio reception,
Okay.
which can be critical for communication and navigation. But it's not just about the technical aspect, it's also about getting a literal higher vantage point.
Okay.
It can help you spot landmarks, reassess your surroundings, and just
Ah.
feel a bit more in control.
It's almost like stepping back from a problem to see the bigger picture.
Exactly.
You get a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
Right, what about the fourth C?
Conserve.
Okay.
This is all about maximizing your fuel efficiency to buy yourself as much time as possible. You want to make sure you have enough fuel to not only figure out your location,
Right.
but also get to a safe landing spot.
So this C is about being resourceful and stretching your resources as far as they can go.
Yeah.
Okay, last but certainly not least, we have communicate.
Communicate is about reaching out for help.
Okay.
This could mean contacting air traffic control, broadcasting on a known frequency,
Okay.
or even using visual signals if necessary.
Gotcha.
It's about recognizing that you don't have to solve this alone.
Our source really emphasizes the importance of a clear PAN report.
Yeah.
Can you break this down for us?
A PAN report is like a standardized distress call,
Okay.
but it's not a full-blown emergency declaration.
Right.
It's a concise way to communicate your situation and request assistance. Think of it like a pilot's version of help, I'm lost, but I'm not in immediate danger yet.
Gotcha.
It includes your aircraft type, your
No.
last known position, your altitude, and the nature of the problem.
Okay.
Think of it like a pilot's version of
Yeah.
help, I'm lost, but I'm not in immediate danger yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, our source dives into some pretty technical stuff about navigation techniques,
Yeah.
like using VORs and NDBs.
Okay.
To be honest, my eyes kind of glazed over during that part. Can you break it down for us, non-pilots?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Those acronyms can sound intimidating,
Right.
but the underlying concept is actually pretty straightforward. Imagine you're trying to find your way around a new city without a GPS. You'd probably use a map and look for landmarks, right?
Exactly. Wow. I'm all about those paper maps.
Okay.
I like to know what I'm looking at.
VORs and NDBs are essentially like radio landmarks for pilots.
Right.
They send out signals that pilots can use to figure out their location relative to those ground stations.
Okay, so they're like radio beacons that help pilots triangulate their position.
Precisely.
Okay.
Let's take VORs, for example.
Okay.
Imagine a pie cut into 360 slices.
Right.
Each slice represents a different radial or direction from the VOR station.
Okay.
Pilots can tune their receiver to a specific VOR frequency mm-hmm. and see what radial they're on.
So it's like knowing you're somewhere along a specific line radiating out from that VOR station.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you can tune into another VOR station
right.
and determine your radial from that one as well,
mm-hmm.
you can find the intersection of those two lines yeah. and pinpoint your position.
So it really is like triangulation.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Okay, good.
What about those NDBs?
Yeah.
Are they similar?
NDBs are a bit simpler.
Right.
They send out a non-directional signal.
Okay.
It's like knowing you're somewhere in the general vicinity of a radio tower.
Okay.
But not exactly how far away you are right. or in what direction.
So with an NDB, you have a general sense of where you are.
Right.
But not a precise location.
Right.
Okay.
But even that general sense of direction can be valuable, especially when combined with other information.
Yeah.
It's like having a compass that points you towards a landmark.
Okay.
Even if you can't see the landmark itself.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Our source also mentions using GPS, which... Uh-huh. Seems like the obvious solution these days.
Mm-hmm.
But it also spends quite a bit of time talking about those old school methods.
Okay.
Why is that still relevant in the age of GPS?
Here's the thing about technology.
Mm.
It can fail.
Yeah.
GPS is amazing,
mm.
but batteries die, systems malfunction, and well, sometimes you might be in an area with poor reception.
So it's like that saying, two is one and one is none.
Yeah.
You always want a backup plan.
You always want a backup plan.
Right.
And beyond just having a backup,
yeah.
using those traditional navigation techniques forces you to develop a deeper understanding of airspace
okay.
and how everything fits together.
It's like the difference between blindly following directions on your phone
right.
and actually understanding a map.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's about building a mental model of your surroundings,
right.
which is a valuable skill in any context,
mm-hmm.
not just aviation.
Reminds me of a time I got hopelessly lost hiking in the mountains.
Oh, no.
I had a GPS.
Yeah.
But the battery died.
Oh.
And I hadn't really paid attention to the trail markers or landmarks.
Oh.
I ended up having to backtrack for hours feeling pretty foolish.
I think we've all had those moments
yeah.
where we rely too heavily on technology and then realize we haven't developed the basic skills to navigate on our own.
Right.
And those skills are about more than just knowing how to read a map.
Mm-hmm.
They're about observation, spatial awareness, and problem solving.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like we sometimes forget how to think critically
yeah.
because we're so used to having technology do it for us.
Yeah.
Our source actually outlines a specific lost aircraft procedure that incorporates all of these different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The procedure starts with those foundational steps we discussed earlier.
Okay.
Stay calm, conserve fuel,
right.
and be aware of your surroundings.
Okay.
Then it moves into using a sectional chart,
mm-hmm.
a detailed map of the airspace.
Okay, so it's like combining those traditional navigation skills
right.
with modern tools like GPS and radio navigation aids.
Exactly.
Okay.
The first step is to orient yourself using your heading indicator.
Okay.
The instrument that shows which direction your aircraft is pointing. You want to make sure it aligns with your magnetic compass.
Makes sense.
Then you turn the sectional chart to match your heading.
Okay.
So it's like you're holding a miniature version of the world outside your window.
That sounds like a really cool visual.
Yeah.
I can see how that would help with spatial reasoning.
It really does.
Yeah.
Then it's all about matching up those landmarks on the chart.
Okay.
With what you're seeing out the window.
Right.
Rivers, lakes, towns, mountains, anything that helps you pinpoint your location.
And what about using those VORs and NDBs?
Okay.
How do those fit into the procedure?
Once you've got a general idea of where you are using the sectional chart,
okay.
you can use those radio aids to refine your position.
Okay.
With VORs, you tune your receiver to the specific frequency of the station
mm-hmm.
and figure out what radial you're on, that slice of the pie we talked about.
Right.
NDBs give you your bearing to the station.
So it's like using multiple pieces of information to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
It must be pretty satisfying to finally figure out exactly where you are.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the procedure also emphasizes seeking assistance from air traffic control or flight service stations whenever possible. They have access to radar and other tools that can help guide you back on course.
Of course, those resources are invaluable.
Yes.
But what if communication is impossible?
In those cases, the procedure recommends squawking 7700 on your transponder, the universal code for an emergency that alerts air traffic control that you're having a problem, even if you can't speak to them directly.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
It's like a silent alarm system that tells everyone.
Right.
Hey, I need some help.
Exactly. Yeah. And finally, the procedure stresses the importance of carefully monitoring your fuel and making a precautionary landing before you run out.
That's like the ultimate safety net.
Yeah.
Finding a safe place to land and reassess the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
It's about prioritizing safety and making a calculated decision rather than pushing your luck.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Mm.
It seems like this whole lost pilot procedure.
Mm-hmm.
is as much about mental resilience and decision-making as it is about technical skills.
You're absolutely right. It's about staying calm under pressure, thinking systematically, and using all available resources to solve a problem.
It strikes me that this whole lost pilot scenario is like a masterclass in decision-making under pressure.
Right.
Even if you never set foot in a cockpit,
uh-huh.
the principles we've been discussing are incredibly relevant to everyday life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's so intriguing about these lost pilot procedures is how they force you to break down a complex problem into manageable steps.
Right.
It's not about reacting emotionally. Yeah. It's about following a systematic process that helps you stay calm and make rational choices.
It's like having a mental toolbox filled with specific tools for navigating uncertainty.
Yeah.
And those tools aren't limited to aviation.
Exactly.
Think about those five C's.
Okay.
They're surprisingly adaptable to all sorts of challenging situations.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. I love this.
Yeah.
Let's play a little game.
Okay.
How would those five C's translate to, say, feeling overwhelmed at work?
All right. Game on.
Okay.
Instead of circle, it might be step back.
Okay.
Create some distance from the situation, maybe literally by taking a break or metaphorically by shifting your focus for a bit.
Confess could become. Acknowledge the problem.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself and maybe with a trusted colleague about what's causing the overwhelm.
Exactly. So. And climb could be seek a higher vantage point.
Okay.
Maybe that's finding a quiet space to think.
Right.
Or talking to someone with more experience for a fresh perspective.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like gaining altitude to get a clearer view of the situation.
Exactly.
What about conserve?
Conserve might translate to protect your energy. Focus on the most important tasks and delegate or defer what you can. Mm-hmm. Don't drain your mental and emotional batteries trying to do everything at once.
And finally, communicate. Which is essential in any overwhelming situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Reach out to your team, your manager, or even a mentor.
Right.
Explain what you're struggling with and brainstorm solutions together.
It's amazing how those seemingly specific aviation procedures can be applied to such a wide range of challenges.
It really highlights the power of having a framework for decision making.
Right.
When we have a clear process to follow.
Yeah.
We're less likely to get bogged down in panic and overwhelm.
And it all comes back to preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Pilots don't just hope they'll remember these procedures in a moment of crisis.
Yeah.
They train rigorously so those actions become second nature.
That's such an important point.
Yeah.
We can all benefit from that kind of proactive preparation in our own lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether it's developing a system for managing your finances, practicing mindfulness techniques to handle stress, or even just having a plan in place for common household emergencies.
It's about building that mental muscle memory so that when the pressure hits, we're able to respond effectively rather than react impulsively.
Right.
We move from fear to action.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
What are some areas in your own life where you could benefit from a little more lost pilot thinking?
Hmm.
What are those recurring challenges where a clear step-by-step approach could make all the difference?
Maybe it's creating a decision-making framework for your business, developing a better system for managing your time, or even just finding a more mindful way to navigate those everyday stressors.
Right.
Whatever it is. Remember those five C's.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to climb to cope when you need a fresh perspective.
And never forget.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a pilot to benefit from a little bit of flight school wisdom.